the experiences I had with them were very personal and very disturbing at times. And then when I got comfortable with it, I noticed that they weren't the only ones there. There was others in the background. And the ones I was dealing with, the ones in your face, they're the worker bees. They're not really the important ones. So I'm like, huh. And I even said to myself, huh, that's really weird. And then I looked at the passenger side window and it was staring at me. I went and immediately went into my art program and drew the alien that I seen. It was kind of gray-like, but it had these markings on its face like a snake.
Roger had the camera up to his eyes and he stumbled and fell. I rode across the creek, got off the horse, and took my rifle out of the scabbard in case I had to make a shot.
For 20 minutes with my spotlight, we watched these two creatures.
I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot.
It's a very ominous feeling. First of all, everything is one color. It's like a dark pewter color. There are no right angles anywhere. There was almost nothing other than a small foldable hatchway that looked recognizable. Everything was really unworldly.
The other option is that these entities are in fact hybrid beings. They are some sort of a hybrid that's coming in and out of our dimension.
My arm contacted him. He just fell back. Very unexpectedly easy into the other one. And I rolled off the table in the other direction. And they came around the table and the three of them were coming towards me.
All right, we're back. And we are so excited about this episode. We actually have Alien Dave on the show. This guy, it's hard for me to put into words because I've been doing investigations, you know, whether it be, you know, alien stuff, ghost stuff, UFO stuff, you know, all kinds of different things. And my cousin Sean and I, so for those of you that listen to the show, you know that our cousin Sean has been on the show multiple times. And the two of us used to follow this guy's webpage religiously. Like we would get on the website. We had it as a, you know, favorite, and we used it as like a research tool to, you know, to look into Utah stuff because he had so many different links and so many different stories from Utah. And we're so lucky to have him on the show. We got Alien Dave here. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Do you go by you? So you go by Alien Dave?
Yeah, Dave Rosenfeld, but my nickname's Alien Dave. Everybody,
you're still okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I know he's saying my cousin and him were the ones mainly on there. They would share stuff with me all the time. We were all investigating. We used to go to, we used to go to cemeteries that you would suggest. We went to all kinds of places. So we're really excited to have you on here, basically. And it's been a long time. This was like 2009, 2010 that we first, we actually before that, I think it was like 2006.
Yeah.
That we really started getting into your webpage. So what is it, 2024? Wow, that's a long time. So we appreciate you being here. It's awesome.
Why don't you just take a moment and just introduce yourself and let the listeners know a little bit about who you are and I guess what started your journey and all this weird stuff.
Okay. Yeah, Alien Dave. I used to run the group, the Utah UFO Hunters. A lot of that original group was kind of an idea from personal experiences, more or less. I had some things that happened in my life that really got me interested in the whole subject, and it was really a kind of a dark time for me because I didn't know what was going on. And so when I started looking into the whole alien UFO thing, it really hit me hard because I realized that this has been with me for most of my life. And when I started the group, I was trying to get some really good members on there that would be active and would go out and investigate with me and hit not only the UFO thing, but anything kind of, you know, high strangeness or any kind of phenomenon in Utah. So crop circles, Bigfoot, crypto creatures, you know, Skinwalker Ranch, Area 52, you know, the whole gambit of what Utah offers. And so when I started the Dugway page, the Area 52 page, is when my website really kind of took off. Because I was getting a lot of hits from people in Dugway, and I was getting a lot of correspondence as well from workers out there and people that live out there, actually. So telling me their strange stories and sending me photographs and all sorts of things. And actually, I was at one point, we met some really high individuals there, and they told us a lot of stuff about secret craft and underground facilities out there and all, you know, just all sorts of high strangeness. And he was telling me at one point that they had banned their employees from wearing shirts from my store because they were all coming in with Alien Dave t-shirts and they didn't like
nice.
They didn't like that at all. And so there was actually a ban on that. And then right after the ban, this is funny, they started their own store with Area 51 merchandise or Area 52 merchandise.
Of course they did.
So I thought it was really funny, but you know, our group, the Utah UFO owners, put Dugway on the map, on the UFO map. We really did. I got a lot of flack back in the day for kind of titling Dugway as Area 52, the new Area 51er or Area 52, from other researchers. I'm not going to name names, but a lot of those people are now affiliated with Skinwalker Ranch, have wrote books about it and all that. And they were, you know, one of them even is a reporter on TV and put my website on their TV, you know, show.
Nice.
And was saying, there's nothing to this. And, you know, Dugway is just, you know, this and that. And then he sent me actually correspondence via emails and stuff saying, you know, hey, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And I'm like, look, dude, this is my backyard. You don't tell me what to do in my backyard. I don't tell you what to do in your backyard. You go do your thing, but don't mess with me on my thing. And ever since then, we've had a falling out. It's been a decade or so. I mean, it's been a long time. And, you know, that's cool. When you get into this field, you get a lot of that flack, especially back in the day when I first started it back in like 99. Uh-huh. It was really kind of frowned upon. It was ridiculed. It was girl repellent. It was everything back then. But now it's totally changed. Everybody's into it. Everybody likes it. More women are getting into it as well. Yeah. You know, it's more accepted now, and the ridicule factor has really gone down on it. But I have been, you know, City Weekly made fun of me. You know, it's just been a big ordeal. And so some of that, you know, was one reason why I kind of had to step back a little bit from it, because, you know, that kind of works on your psyche and this and that. And you're like, you know, I don't want to push my ideas and force it on people. So I'm just going to put it out there on my website and let people make up their own mind. You know, the website got really out of hand because there was just so much going on with it. And so I've kind of let it go, not really let it go. I mean, it's still there. I still pay for the subscription and the domain and everything, but it hasn't been updated since 2009.
We need to get our listeners to like donate so you can keep that thing up there. Cause I never want that thing going away. Especially there's one page and you're going to have to tell me where it is. Cause you might remember. There's one page that you go to, it's a link, and you got this recording that's like an MIB guy, and he's like, you don't know anything about this.
You didn't see anything, you haven't heard anything, you don't know anything about this. And let me assure you that we will monitor you to be sure every broadcast that you make, that if you mention it, you're in big trouble.
Our grandpa, he had this weird experience with my mom when my mom was young, my grandpa was, they were out at the Capitol, and they had this weird crossbreeding experience up there, and we can get into it. We had one whole show on it one time, or a part of a show on it, but he got a call that was almost word for word like that after they'd seen what they'd seen. So he went home and everything, and they got this call, and it was a government type person just like that, like, you haven't heard anything, you don't know anything about this. Same thing, you know, and if you say anything, it was almost identical to what that recording was. Is there any, like, where did that recording come from?
You know, I'm not sure. I was getting sent a lot of stuff back in the day. And if I was to maybe go back into my Alien Dave at aliendave.com email, I might be able to track down where I found that. But it's been a long time. But yeah. I think that page is what you're talking about. It's called the gray page.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's literally like what our, like you were saying, like what our grandpa heard when he was younger with that crossbreeding situation behind the Capitol. And they saw something they weren't supposed to see. And he got a visit at his door and he got a call. And the visit at his door was the second warning. But for, because he was saying, I don't know why you guys are bugging me, basically. Leave me alone. Boom. And they were like, okay, we're going to go to his door too. And the dog, they used to have a German Shepherd St. Bernard mix. So it was a really big dog. This dog wasn't scared of anything. This is when my mom was really young. She was like 7 or 8. They were just walking their dog up by the Capitol. And just a really quick synopsis of it. They heard this really loud banging sound on the side of the mountain. And the dog went underneath the truck and hid and was like making some crying noises. And they're like, why is the dog so scared? And they're looking at her, Pooh Winnie, what's going on? They call the Pooh Winnie. What's going on? And the dog's just hiding behind the tire. And then it's just looking up at the mountainside. And so they look over at the mountainside too. And behind the Capitol, there's like this female African lion with a beaver tail. And the beaver tail was hitting the mountainside really hard. It was looking over at a certain direction. It had babies with it. And as it was looking over at this other direction, they looked over and they saw there was a male one that was even bigger. That looked like an African lion with a full mane and everything, but with a beaver tail.
And they were making screeching sounds, like almost like bird
sounds.
Like
a bird screech.
Like that. So it's one of those gray box things. So we started the conversation before we hit record with Dave here. And I was asking him, because we're going to get into it, I'm sure. But I was asking, like, man, it's just hard as we do this research. You get more questions than answers. And then you got to file things away that don't make sense. And you got to start tying things together. That's one of those ones that's like, it's a gray box thing. You just file it away and then maybe you hear it one day from somebody else down the road or something.
Have you run into some crossbreeding stuff on your end? Any stories like that?
Not necessarily crossbreeding, but maybe experimental animals that have been experimented on, maybe, or test animals. I did have some people from Dugway tell me a story about they went outside the building, I think, to have a cigarette, and they watched this cat that looked like it was robotic, was walking like it was robotic, like it was stiff, and it had tubes hanging out of it. So he ran back inside and said, hey, there's something out here, you know, that you got to come see this. And so I guess one of the high ups came out with him and a bunch of other people. And the high up guy said, you know, go back inside. That's just a test animal that got loose. Don't worry about that. Don't mess with them. I'll make a phone call. So he never got to see it again, but they were more or less pushed back inside and said, you know, hey, we've seen cats out there in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. What's a cat doing out there? I mean, it wouldn't survive out there for long. I mean, I wouldn't think so, but we've seen cats on sky watches. We had one jump on our hood in the middle of the night, scared the living crap out of us at Simpson Springs. And so I was like, you know, that's weird. But I mean, not necessarily crossbreed type, you know, hybrid type stuff, but test animals, strange creatures and stuff. But other than that, I haven't seen any crossbreeding stuff.
I mean, just the idea of it being in a place it's not supposed to be is already a weird thing. You know what I mean?
Right up by the Capitol. And that is a very popular area for something that big to be roaming around, you know?
I mean, this probably was like the 60s, like, you know, late 60s, early 70s-ish. So definitely a little less populated than it is now, obviously. But yeah, weird though. Super weird.
Well, I mean, where do you think it came from? Underground?
I don't know. So that whole area now, which is weird about it. So it's a mountainside there. It's right behind the Capitol. So just north of it, that whole mountainside is like big houses now, like rich houses, you know? And so you've got like, you know, a lot of the jazz players lived up there. Like Rudy Gobert bought a house.
Shooting range up there right in back of the Capitol. When I was a teenager, we used to go up there and shoot guns and it was a shooting range. And now there's a gated community there. Yeah.
Yeah. But back then it was like nothing. It was just all sand, you know, just mountainside. And there was nothing there, but she did say, our mom told us, she said that there was like fencing and stuff that had kind of like government type signs when you would drive up into that area. And so, I mean, her thought is, because we've asked her that question, her thought is like somehow these things got loose. Like they were supposed to be, maybe underground or maybe at a nearby facility and somehow got out somehow, or somebody let them out. But whatever it was, I believe the story because he's like my mom and my grandpa are like no bullshitters. You know, they'll tell the truth about stuff. And but it's weird though. It's one of those things. I wrote to another podcast one time this story, and they're like they
sounds far fetched.
They kind of just wrote me off, and I'm like I'm sure I would do the same. Probably it's weird. It's just strange. But
it just seems like two unlikely animals to be breeding together or mixing right. together.
Yeah, and then you so you mentioned like all this stuff about you were doing this stuff before. And it was like kind of the time where it was not really accepted. Now you got this time where it's like very accepted. You got people talking about it all the time, like it's an open book, right? I guess it's weird. You were kind of a pioneer. You were in the time where it was like you were like an uphill battle, and now it's like, is there a part of you that wishes you were still kind of doing it now because it's a lot easier? People kind of accept what you're saying and stuff, like all this disclosure that came out and all this stuff.
Well, you know, I really got into it for me. Yeah. I needed some answers for some things that went on in my life. And in the last 20 years, some of those questions about my experiences have been answered. I kind of really know the gist of what went on. I just don't know why. I kind of know why, but I don't know the real reason why. I'm assuming why. But that was the main reason I got into it, because I had my own questions. I was in a dark time. I was meeting other beings.
Oh wow.
And there was just a whole time there between, let's say, 99 and 2001 ish. It was just super confusing when you have non-human entities looking at you, you know, telepathically speaking to you, that type of thing. It really tests your sanity. And once I realized kind of what was going on, and I wasn't alone in it, that there's others out there that have similar experiences. And that was a huge thing with the group was, and with my involvement with MUFON, our group's involvement with MUFON, was experiencers, contactees. You get to learn a lot about their experiences and how similar they are to yours. I had one person tell me, because she asked me, she says, "When was your last contact?" And I says, "Oh, it's been, you know, 10 years or so." And she says, "Well, you don't need to see them anymore. You don't need to see them anymore. They'll download stuff for you, but you don't need to see them anymore." That was part of the lesson where you know that they're real. So you don't need to see them anymore. So they won't show themselves anymore. And more or less your mission is over. Now they're more or less interested in my kids more than me. Uh-oh. They've had their own experiences. And I think it's a whole big genetic thing.
What is your blood type? Are you Rh negative or?
I'm not gonna say.
Okay, all righty. We gotta get into that. If you're open to sharing some of those stories that happened to you, I don't know if you are. I know it's deeply personal and stuff, but if you're willing to share any of them, I know it helps. Like you said, it helps others to hear your experience. Sometimes it just really brings it full circle for them, so they know they're not alone. Like you said,
you know, like I say, that the experiences I had with them were very personal and very disturbing at times. And then when I got comfortable with it, I noticed that they weren't the only ones there. There was others in the background. And the ones I was dealing with, the ones in your face, they're the worker bees. They're not really the important ones. Yeah. And it took me a while to realize, it took me to lose the fear of the little ones. And then I noticed the ones in the background.
You were seeing the taller versions of the grays, right? You were seeing the praying mantis version. Yeah,
and the one that would come to me, the first one I would see or experience or have contact with, put itself off as female. I knew it wasn't, but it put itself off as female. And I think it was just kind of a motherly thing, a trust, you know, type thing where it was more comforting to me. But they're very, very telepathic. So maybe they picked up on something that said, you know, hey, pretend you're a female. That one, it's almost like I have a connection with, because it was always the first one that would tell me what was going on, what to expect. So there was a lot of trust with that one. When they showed me myself, that was disturbing. It was another me, and I instantly knew that it knew more than me. That intent, you know, like here's another me, my doppelganger, more or less, that was raised in an alien environment. And so it knows more than me. But it was weird because they wanted to see how we would react to each other. And that little experiment that they do, where they want to see your reaction with things, is constant. When you have contact with these beings, they want to see how you react to things, but they're always telling you telepathically to keep your emotions in check. Over and over and over again, they're telling you that. Because I know that they think of us as dangerous children because of our power of emotions and our lack of control, or our power of mind and our lack of control of emotions. So, which makes us dangerous in their eyes, because they say, if you knew what you could do with the power of your mind and how dangerous it is when you lose control of your emotions, because you could use that power of mind, you know, in an angry fashion or for revenge or, you know, I think we have a lot to growing up on this planet before we have actual open contact with these beings, but I think we're getting there. I think the planet worldwide is getting tired of the system that we're in. We're starting to realize that the secrets they've been hiding from us is not for our better good. It's for their profit. We're seeing the system fail. And
yeah, there's a mass enlightenment happening right now. And I've noticed, like, thankfully we're in this time together. We can all see it. We're all living still to be able to enjoy this. It's kind of crazy, but
you know, since a little kid that I was here to see a big show.
And we were told that too, like, even when we were younger, my mom has some clairvoyant kind of vibes going on, and she would tell us, like, you know, I feel like you guys are destined for, you know, to help people, or there's something that you guys are going to see when you're older. Like, she would tell us stuff like that when we were kids. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, that's so weird. But yeah, maybe, I mean, we're 36, we got a little more time to go, and who knows, like, it's, every year is rapidly changing. I don't know, I still don't know what to think about the whole disclosure thing and the alien thing that's going on. I'm very, like, closed. I'm stepping away from it a little bit just to kind of see what really happens here. But I don't know. How do you feel about all that now that because you've had more contact, you've had real contact in a way, than a lot of us. And, do you think there's evil intent at all? Or do you think it's...
No, if they were here to hurt us, they would have done so a long time ago before we started building weapons to fight back.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
You know, because they gave us technology and they thought that we were going to use it to better the planet, that we made weapons out of it. And so they're done giving us stuff, but they would have taken us out before they gave us, you know, the technology to fight back, more or less.
Do you think they're coming from outer space then? Or do you think they're more like interdimensional, or is there a mix of both going
underwater?
I have no idea. I think some of them are actually from here.
Yeah.
They're not alien at all. They've just been hiding. I believe some of them are probably at interdimensional or have that capability. But also I think that there might be some from actual space. But that's a good question, because I don't know. It's kind of like the time where they took me in and they showed me some other kids. There was no walking aboard a craft, or it was just you were in the woods and then you're in a room. So I don't know if I was underground or on board a craft or what, but it was just a well-lit room and it had no corners. Everything was rounded, no seams, nothing like that. But
that sounds like Bob Lazar's description a little bit, how he's like, it's all like, it's this ominous, everything's just pewter color or white. And you just got these.
Yeah, the light just comes from everywhere. There's no light source, more or less. It just comes from everywhere. I don't know. It's a different experience because it's dreamlike. But when you start to look back on it and remember certain things about your experiences, you pick out these little details that seem insignificant, but it's because they're so different.
Yeah.
Than what we're used to. You know, you're used to seeing sharp edges in rooms, and there was none of that, and it just sticks with you for some reason. But you guys wanted to hear a story about some of my experiences with ETs, and there's one I always like to tell, because it's a little scary, and it was during the time where, like I said, I didn't know what was going on.
So this was like 99 to 2001 ish, around that range.
This was actually like 98 99. It was in the fall, and I'm an astrophotographer. I like to take night shots, and so I have my Canon, and this is back when film, you know, 35 millimeter film.
Process 1 hour photo film. Nice.
Yes. And, you know, back then when you're taking night photography, it was a real chore because you're writing down all your settings because you don't get instant results like you do now, you know, where you can just pull it up on the screen and see your shot, make adjustments, and then take another shot. Film is different. You have to write down your setting, take your shots, go get it developed, get your pictures back, and then in order go, okay, what setting was this? What setting was that? You know, and it's kind of frustrating because then you go back out and you're like, okay, that was the wrong setting. Do that shot. And it gets expensive, especially nowadays. I still shoot in film because, well, I shot in film back in the day too because there was a negative.
Yeah.
You can't fake a negative. So if I got a picture of a UFO on 35 millimeter, it was more credible. So that's why I kept the 35 millimeter around. Yeah, perfect. But anyway, I was going up the canyon to take some night shots. And back then there was a little restaurant up the canyon here called the Sun and Moon Cafe. So I stopped in there. It's probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. They were just getting ready to close, and I grabbed a large coffee from them and headed back up the canyon and got to the top there where I like to shoot, and it was, you know, nice out. I had the windows down, or my window down, right? Could hear the crickets outside, and just a nice night. And I'm sitting here messing with my camera, getting it ready, and I hear what sounds like scuffling on the road outside my Jeep, or outside my Blazer. This one I had in my Blazer. And so I kind of looked at the side mirror and then looked out the window. I didn't see anything, and I kind of looked around, but I had the dome light on in the car. So it was putting a reflection on the inside of the window, so I couldn't really see out like the passenger side and that. So I turned off the dome light and was looking around. Didn't see anything. So then went back to what I was doing. And then I heard this kind of like walking on the road and another scuffle. And this time when I looked in the side mirror, I seen what looked like a humanoid figure walking back of my truck, like a shadow. And so this time I was kind of more prepared because I knew the dome light was off. So I turned the dome light off right away and then started looking around and back at me. Didn't see anything. So I'm like, huh. And I even said to myself, huh, that's really weird. And then I looked at the passenger side window and it was staring at me like it was there the whole time. And it freaked me out. I'm telling you, it was one of those experiences where, you know, you panic, you just go in flight or flight. And I'm sitting here trying to start my Jeep or the Blazer, and it wasn't starting, and I'm freaking out and I'm feeling sick and everything. So the truck finally starts. I peel out of there. I do a U-turn and start heading back down, not Immigration Canyon, but down toward Parley's Canyon. And I get all the way down Parley's Canyon to what, Foothill Drive, and I just pulled over to get some composure. I had this sick feeling. I had this dry mouth. So I went to get a drink of my coffee, and it was cold. And I got thinking, wait a minute, I just got this coffee, what, half hour ago, 45 minutes ago? It was cold. And that's when I looked at the clock, and it was 2 a.m. And I was like, oh, wait a minute here. I'm missing like 2 hours of time. And I drove home that night and thought about that. And I'm like, something weird happened. This is something that you just can't tell people, and this and that. I went and immediately went into my art program and drew the alien that I seen. It was kind of gray like, but it had these markings on its face like a snake.
Oh wow. Like scales or something?
Like patterns, you know, like a snake has, like a pattern on its face. And I thought that was really strange. And I haven't seen that since. But I've had experiences with aliens many times after that, and I've never seen that one. That's one experience that I had that really just, you know, it puts you in a state of mind like, was that even real? Did I really experience that? Is it? And I thought about having hypnotic regression about it and this and that. And I, you know, I've talked to a lot of contactees, and they said, you know, when things happen like that, you give it some time and details start coming back.
Yeah.
It's almost like whatever they did to you to erase their memory starts to wear off. I never did have hypnotic regression because I had heard stories about, you know, them kind of feeding your story or embellishing your story in a hypnotic state. And then even if they suggest something, like you're saying, I'm seeing something, and they say, well, is it this? Well, that's not the correct way to do hypnotic regression, because you're putting that into their mind now. You know, I've been just kind of really wary about that, but maybe someday.
So when you go into these like crafts, at least the ones you remember, or you don't even know if it was underground or if it was in a building, it just has that, you just know you're somewhere else, right? But have you ever seen adult humans, like what looks like adult humans on these ships?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Are they like?
There was one time we were in a room. There was kids in this room. Some of them were really young, like 5, but there was full grown adults in the room too. It was almost like a holding room. And everybody was just kind of staring at nothing except the kids. The kids were playing on the floor. They were doing this and that. And I don't know what the hell was going on in that room, but definitely there was humans, full grown and children in that room. I didn't spend much time in that room. It was almost like they walked me through that room into another room.
Yeah, that's a pretty common occurrence. It's weird. There's, you know, there's like you said, a holding area, or there's, like, we've heard a lot of common stories where, you know, alien abductees would say there's like a Men in Black type guy, like not Men in Black, like bald and stuff. I'm talking like normal human government type guys in suits, and they're out there kind of sort of helping
the kids
coordinate everything. Yeah, yeah. It's like, are they helping on the ship? Are they helping with the alien? What's going on here? You know? So that's good. I'm glad you asked that, because I was literally going to ask that too. So
when you say adults and aliens together, that it, I have a kind of disturbing idea about that whole thing, because throughout my whole research about abductees and contactees, and, you know, there's women that are abducted when they're pregnant.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're not pregnant anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
It's always like that 3-month period. And then all of a sudden they go back to the doctor and they're not pregnant anymore.
So some of these could be hybrid, what have you, but in all reality, it's probably 100% human, that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking that baby for genetic reasons or what have you. But what if they were to take a 100% human baby and raise it in an alien environment?
Yeah.
Is it still human? Because it thinks, now it's fully thinking like an alien. It knows everything, you know, more or less it's an alien in the mind.
Right.
In a human body. Totally 100% human body. That should scare people more than anything. Because they're not alien. They're 100% human, but they were raised in an alien environment.
Yeah.
They could be spies. They could be setting stuff up. They could be whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah,
because they're not going to get noticed. And even if they get hurt or go to the hospital, they're 100% human.
Yeah. Yeah, that's creepy. That's a creepy thought. And you mentioned getting raised. Like, the thing is, like, with people, I believe there's like, we come a little bit a certain way, but there's also like so much influence by how we get raised. Right. And so, yeah, no, you're right. Like, that's a scary thought, because they can do really anything that their alien masters, I guess, want them to do. And
right.
That's a good thing.
If they could do that, they've been doing it a long time.
Are you of the mind that these beings that you've seen and stuff, because we hear all kinds of, there's the Greys, there's the Grey Mantis doctor type that do the surgeries, and then there's the Nordics and all the other different types.
The light beings. We had a guy on, his name's Raven, he's a friend of mine, and he's very similar to you. He's an artist. He does a lot of amazing paintings just like you do. You take a lot of great, you know, photos and stuff too. You guys are artistic. You have these situations that have taken place your entire life, like as young, you know, he's that same way. And we had him on, I don't remember what episode it was, but he was getting taken by these blue light beings that were like aliens, but they looked like they were made of blue light. And they took him aboard multiple times to these different ships and stuff. And there was one part, he's like, I'm still trying to learn what it means, but they would show him like these, what looked like star maps. And they'd have these like little light points, you know, that were brighter than the others. And they would just impose, they would, you know, it was telepathic, just like what you dealt with when they would speak to you. And they would say, like, they were trying to teach him something. Like, what do you think this is? And he's kind of at the mind now that he's getting older, that it's like some kind of a travel, like a portal system. And they're trying, but, and that's what he was thinking now. But he's like, when I brought that up, when I said that to him, they're like, you're close, but that's not it. And so he's like, I still don't know what that means. Like that whole star map with these brighter stars. And he's like, they were implying travel, but I just don't understand what that means. And so there's all these weird things like that, you know, and he would float out of his house, you know, and he'd actually be flying with these beings. There was one that was like, you know, skin color, like us, kind of like a peach colored skin thing with, and it would just be teaching him how to fly, basically flying around the neighborhood. And then it would take him up to the ship and stuff. And it had, you know, big, huge bulbous head, kind of like you hear with these grays and stuff. And you mentioned that these other ones, it took you a while to get past these other ones to see the bigger, tall ones in the background. Those, the littler ones, do you believe they're like some kind of AI bot?
Yeah. Biological machine. Yeah.
That's what we think too. Just too many stories where they're just, they have no emotion whatsoever.
No, if they're made to do jobs that are too boring, too dangerous, or too dirty.
Do you think they're the ones flying in the ships too that we always see, like that one that has that close up shot of those two that are in the craft that's recently been posted? I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, they're made to travel space. They don't create any waste. They don't eat. They don't. They're perfect beings, more or less. And from what I've heard, from what I've researched and experienced, I think they have a hive mentality. What one knows, they all know. They could very well be like an AI, like a biological machine. There's many theories on this. And I mean, they could be us from the future, actually. But whoever those are, they are on the low rung of the ladder, you know, when it comes to the others in the room, more or less. They're the workers.
What messages are they giving you? Like when they tell you things, like what kind of messages have you taken away from them? Are they, because the reason I ask that, obviously we hear the stories about, you know, you guys, like you said, you guys are dangerous on planet Earth. You're out to kill each other and you guys never get along.
Gotta clean up the Earth.
All this stuff. Are they giving you like a peaceful message saying like you guys need to come together and stop the fighting? Yeah.
More or less they're saying that we're children. We need to grow up. We're on the precipice of pushing an envelope. And that might be becoming a type one civilization because most don't make it. They have the ability to wipe themselves out, and they do. For us to ascend, we have to have the ability to wipe ourselves out and not. And then we're interesting to them.
Yeah.
We're not that lower rung type thing.
Yeah.
And I think that when we reach...
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
It's that level we'll definitely have contact on a global scale, more or less. The main message that I get from them is that they're trying to save themselves and acquire things that we have that they've lost, as far as like emotions or whatever that may be. And at least the ones I've been dealing with, but they also see us as very powerful beings, but there's a lot of them that want to see us ascend and get to their level. For that to happen, we need to kind of trust, I guess, more on our telepathic, spiritual type side and realize that the systems that we have here, they don't get a lot of the stuff that we do. They don't get the money. They don't get that. They don't. So some of the systems that we have to really kind of go away, disappear. We need to just rely on ourselves more instead of governments, instead of that type of thing where we're being controlled and suppressed and this and that, because if we really knew the technology that they're keeping from us, we would be pissed.
Yeah.
You know, because it wouldn't cost a thing for us to drive or fly, or, you know, travel wouldn't cost a thing. Energy wouldn't cost anything. Just think of how much better world it would be if energy didn't cost you anything. How much money my company puts into power alone. Mm-hmm. To run our machines and you know, all that. If that was free, oh my God, it would just open up all sorts of possibilities, all sorts of time, all sorts of resources. And we would start having more Mozarts and, you know, geniuses and artists because we would have the time to do that.
Right.
Right. Instead of being in survival mode, going making money so you can go to work the next day and do it all over again. I mean, that's not really living.
Yeah.
But if we had the time to do what we wanted to do, and that takes up a lot of our time is just work, working for money, working to survive. When that is solved and we have the time, I think that not just one, I think a whole gamut of beings will start coming in, you know, showing themselves and want to have contact with us. But until then, we're just being babysitted.
I know you mentioned with the dangerous thing real quick. Are we stronger than them physically? Like we could throw them across the room. I would guarantee it. We could. Yep. And that scares them a little bit, I bet. But they're...
It doesn't scare them. They have the ability to paralyze us. And I think it's that's just with thought alone.
Do you think that... So with that, do you think that they're... The ones that you've met with are the same, like, you know how there's like that Anunnaki side of things where it's like they're the ones that created everything and they say they created everything and they came down to the Egyptians to build the pyramids and they came down to, you know, create all kinds of energy sources for us. And I don't know, they meet with the natives. There's so many stories of Native Americans talking about meeting with, but they always act like they're like our God. And that rubs me the wrong way, I guess, on my side of things, because I'm Christian and stuff in my mindset. But and I'm not like the type that's like all psycho about it. But yeah, I just believe in Jesus and stuff. But have they talked about that before, like that they're kind of like the creators?
No,
like no, nothing like that. It's interesting though. Yeah, like there's so much about.
No, I know the whole Anunnaki story and this, you know, Zachariah Sitchin and all that. You know, I've got all his books. I'm very familiar with that, and there's probably more truth to that than we realize that,
yeah.
You know, there is a 12th planet out there. It's been proven and suppressed, but if there is a 12th planet out there and there are beings on it that visit us every 3,500 years or whatever, those are different. That story is that they made us more or less as worker bees to mine gold because they didn't want to mine it. And maybe that's why we still have a fascination with gold to this day. The whole story of the, you know, the Enki falling in love with a human and then making it so it could breed and then having children. And then those were the Nephilim, the giants and stuff. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I follow the giant story here in Utah all day long. And I run into it out there in the field all the time when I'm out there and I find petroglyphs with six toes, six fingers, you know, and right next to handprints with five fingers and footprints with five toes. And there's an obvious difference because the six-toed ones are a lot bigger than the five-toed ones. So they're showing you the difference between the two, you know? These aren't just graffiti. These are stories. These are real things. And that's why I pay attention to petroglyphs because it's not just graffiti. It's their stories to be told there. And what I find it really interesting here in Utah is not only the six-toed thing, but if you look at petroglyphs, and you see, oh, there's a bighorn sheep and there's, you know, an elk and there's a buffalo and then a demon. Those are all real things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just put an imaginary being in with all the real beings, right?
Agreed.
They're all real beings in there. So when you see like two-headed demons or these were real things for them. And so you really got to take that into account. But there's a whole lot of high strangeness here in Utah and a whole lot of not only just, you know, paranormal stuff, but treasure as well. I mean, we got the Moon Lake Gathering coming up here on the 23rd and 24th of this month, and it's a huge ordeal. I speak at it every year. I'm at least try to be a part of it every year. Last year I didn't speak, but we had an open mic thing, and it was a real good time. But a lot of good stories up there about the treasures, the Aztec, the people that you meet at the Moon Lake Gathering blow me away on some of this stuff. I mean, Truot was talking about, he went to Egypt. He was looking at Egyptian artifacts there. He had the opportunity to handle some of these artifacts and what have you in this museum. And what he noticed was a lot of the statues were made out of wood. And some of the sarcophagi was made out of wood. And he's like, well, that's a big piece of wood, you know, to be making a coffin out of. And where would they get this wood in Egypt? To, you know, wood that big to make a coffin out of. So he had I apparently had somebody do some testing on some of this wood, and wood is just like gold. You can tell where on the planet it's from. So they tested this wood and they found out this wood, most of this wood that they were making sarcophagus out of and statues and stuff, was ponderosa pine. Wow. Where's the nearest ponderosa pine to Egypt?
Yeah.
Well, you can find out where on the planet this ponderosa pine is just by testing this wood. And guess where that wood was from?
Idaho.
The north rim of the Grand Canyon. Wow. That's a long way away from Egypt. Are they going to spend months traveling by boat and then going up, let's say, the river there, to the into the Grand Canyon to harvest wood and then put it back on a boat another month or two to back to Egypt? And there's so much of that wood in Egypt, you would think that's trip after trip out, you know? No. They got that wood from the Grand Canyon because it was easy. I mean, logically, it would have to be easy. They wouldn't spend that amount of time to go get some wood. They could go to a closer country. The legend is, you know, I know you've heard of Kincaid's Cave, Grand Canyon, this type of thing. There's underground stuff there and everything. Well, there's probably a portal in the Grand Canyon, and that portal probably leads directly to Egypt. It's kind of one of those like Stargate things where you have access to a certain part of the planet. It's not like an all access thing. It's probably a one way or a two way to one location, more or less, to Egypt, to the Grand Canyon. And it, what fascinates me about the Grand Canyon and the Egyptian connection is you look on topo maps of the Grand Canyon, you find a lot of these big buttes and monuments there that are labeled like Ra's Temple, you know, very Egyptian names,
right,
to these things. And you're like, okay, well, there has to be, who named these? Was it Powell on his first expedition into the Grand Canyon? Did he name those? I mean, really, I mean, what's going on there? I think there was something more in the Grand Canyon. I don't believe the whole story that you know, the Grand Canyon was made over millions and millions of years of erosion. And I think it was one event. A giant flood made that.
Yeah.
Because some of those canyon walls are really, really wide, right? And they go straight down. And then there's a little river in the middle of that, half a mile away from the side. There's no way that's natural erosion, because it would eventually just come down like it. No, this was a huge one-time event that happened. And then everything else from that one event is making that little thing down the middle of it. I think that these were huge events. And this just goes to show the history that we're not being told on this planet.
Yeah.
I think that the powers that be that are in control right now have suppressed so much history, so much technology. I mean, you look into Tartaria. These are just simple little examples that anybody can look into and find out, yeah, there's something strange about that. You know, why did we have fireplaces in these giant, you know, fortress like mansions and stuff, and they never burn fires in them? They're not fireplaces. They're something else, right?
Yeah.
They're copper lined. They have a huge tower on the top. These were collecting
energy
from the ether or whatever you want to call it. And it was heating and cooling these rooms for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially because they're hundreds of years old, some of these, you know, these immaculate fireplaces, and they're clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
They've never had fires in them. We've been lied to about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
There's so much that we've been suppressed. And I think that if we do have contact, some of that is going to have to come out.
Yeah.
They're going to have to admit some of it. And I think that's the big problem right now is them admitting it and then admitting that, yeah, we lied to the American, we lied to the world for 60 years. And then people are going to go, well, what else do you lie about?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm glad you brought up Tartaria, because I did want to just mention that when you were talking about the free energy thing, because I've been researching it like crazy. And it's just weird. Like, yeah, just the way they used to build things, we don't build it like that anymore. I used to complain about it, being an artist myself. You know, we don't build buildings with like so much art anymore. We do it so quickly, probably as a money saver too, but there's more to it. And some of these buildings were there way before we even, you know, civilized, you know, as what it sounds like. And they were already built that way. And there's so many similarities, like you're saying, to other places that have buildings that are built in such a similar way, with towers that are built, like you said, with copper and all this stuff. And yeah, there's definitely, it's an energy source. It's an energy harnessing. And Tesla was onto it, obviously, with some of his crazy stuff with, you know, talking about pyramids and the tops of pyramids and that those are, those and obelisks are communication devices and things like that. It's cool. It's really, I love this stuff, but it does suck that we don't learn about it in school books, you know, in history, and we just have to figure it out on our own. But I mean, part of me likes that because we're investigators too.
And speaking of really quick, Dave, when we were in Ivins, Utah, which I'm sure you're familiar with that area. So we were down there last year, 2 years ago. Has it been 2 years now?
I think it's two.
Yeah. 2 years ago. And we were just down there to hang out. It was like almost Thanksgiving. And it was just, we're just taking a boys trip. We're just going to go kind of enjoy some time out there. We had a friend that we could stay at their house. And then we were just going to go explore and just do kind of a native exploration, because we know there's a lot of native stuff out there. You know, me and him are both part Hopi on my dad's side. We got Hopi Native American in us. So we're like super excited to just kind of go look around. And as we're down there, I just had this moment. It was so funny. We were at this place where they're like, you can go look at these petroglyphs. And it's like a commercialized area. So we're like, okay, let's walk up. Let's check it out. So we go up there and it's like fenced in and everything. And we're like, this isn't that cool. We're just like, it's like desecrated too. Like people are messing with it and stuff. And they're like, yeah, you know, it's like, it is what it is. There might be some other petroglyphs. And we're like, let's just go off the beaten path. So I just had I had this weird inkling where I'm like, I'm going to go this way. And we started walking this way. And I'm like, I feel like there's something this way. And as we walk over, we get to this cliff's edge and look down. And literally on the one rock that's in between the cliff and the very bottom, which is a pretty far drop, like 50 feet more. And on that rock, there was a swirly petroglyph. One of those perfect little swirlies, you know?
Well, there's two of them next to each other.
There's two of them right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then we look down at the ravine at the bottom, and it literally looks just like that.
Yeah, you can see like the pattern of the bushes of the are growing in the that bushes. Same way. And you're like, what's going on down there? That's so weird. And it's a blocked off area. It's actually part of the reservation down there. And so we're like, we want to get down there, but someone's going to shoot us maybe if we go down there.
It was completely blocked off, so we couldn't go investigate. Is this literally a portal? Like, are they telling us this is a portal right now? And all we need is the tools to access it, and it's right here. They're literally drawing it right out in front of us, and this is it, you know? And then I went around the corner, and there was another one, very similar, with, like, some little people on it that they drew, too. And we're like, this is so cool. Nobody's ever seen these ones. Like, it was something, maybe, there's people I'm sure that have in the town or whatever, but it was very uncommercialized. We went to a place that was so different, and I was so excited that we found those. It was just such a cool find.
I'd like to see those sometime.
We can send you some pictures of them for sure, but we'll have to try to figure out exactly where they were at. But it was really cool, and it just looked like a portal to me. You know, I was like, wow, that's really cool. So that struck me when you talked about the portals.
Speaking of that, Dave, we are getting like a little past an hour. If you're okay for just a couple more questions, I'd love to get more of your time for just a moment, if you can. If not, understandable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you about.
I love your tap, by the way, you people.
Yes.
My stepdad has the same one. Yeah. On his arm. My stepdad has the exact same one. Oh, I have this one, 1776.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Jeez, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Pretty fun.
But I wanted to ask you about Space Wolf research. I wanted to ask you about that area down there and Skinwalker Ranch, because you've been doing this for a long time with MUFON and all this stuff. Were you around, I guess, before we get into Space Wolf, were you around during, like, the Bigelow time? Like, were you involved in any of that stuff that was going on, like some of the research down in Skinwalker Ranch area?
I wasn't involved with Bigelow team at all. I was actually the first one to post pictures of the Skinwalker Ranch online on aliendave.com.
I know. You got us excited because we saw those pictures. We're like, I think we can find this place, you know?
Yeah, I was the first one. And, when I first started posting stuff about Skinwalker, I was really respectful with the NIDS team and Bigelow. I didn't ever post GPS coordinates or anything like that. I tried to keep it, you know, hey, if you find it, you find it, but I'm not going to tell you where it is. Just to try to keep things cool with them, you know. There was a lot of NIDS correspondence back in the day with me. I sent them a lot of my evidence, the Wolf Creek UFO that's on the website. That negative went to the NIDS team. They had it for over a year, the negative, and it came back as inconclusive. More or less, they said there was no fakery involved, got a negative. The object was there, but we don't know what it was. I used to get Christmas cards from NIDS every year. Met with a few of their investigators at my house, actually, and had some really good conversations. And back in the day when we used to go check out Skinwalker Ranch, we used to go and hang out on this property that we called the Southern location, because it was more or less just a big kind of parking area. The cops would leave us alone, more or less. We would clean up the garbage, you know, keep it nice and this and that. So they got kind of used to us being there and all that. Since then, Ryan has bought that property and it's now called Space Wolf Research, and it's borderline, it more or less borderlines the ranch. It has a very good vantage point of the ranch. It, like I say, I think we have a better view of the ranch than the ranch does itself, because we can see it up, we're up on the hill there and we can look down on it. I thought that was really cool that Ryan acquired that property, because we were always interested in that, and we were always, you know, kind of worried about getting busted on, you know, being on somebody's property and hanging out on it and this and that. But, now that Ryan owns it, we don't have any issues with that, but we do try to, keep things cool with Skinwalker Ranch. We're going about it, I think, in two different ways. They have the TV show, they're doing their own thing, and Space Wolf is doing its own thing. I know Ryan has had a lot of really interesting people up there, the Hinckley Institute, some other things, doing brain studies on the property. Just really, really kind of interesting stuff to see. Hey, you know, what if we try this on the property? What if we try that on the property? What if we bring this? What if we shine this up in the, you know? I mean, Bigelow was doing the same thing. When I had my VIP tour of the ranch from Brandon Fugel, I noticed some leftover things from the Bigelow area still on the property. And one of those high strangest things, you're like, what the hell is that? There's a telephone pole out there by the what they call the bait pen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of between the bait pen and the road. There's a telephone pole with an aquarium, like a 30-gallon aquarium mounted to it. And when I went there, there was children's toys in the aquarium. Like one of those balls that, you know, you put the shapes in.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the square, the circle, one of those. I mean, you're like, what are they doing out here? What was the purpose of that? And then you find out, you know, there's some research and some other people. They were trying everything out there to try to get a reaction. Anything they could think of, anything strange or unusual that they might be able to try, they were trying. And like I say, this is what I seen out there, was just kind of a leftover of one of their little experiments that they're like, let's try it. Put some kids' toys out. I don't know.
It's just weird.
Really strange to me. But some of the things that I know Ryan's been finding out about his property is some really high strangeness stuff. I mean, some of the bones that we find out there are super interesting, and the cracks that open up on the property and then close back up. And it's interesting. I think that whole area, it's not just, you know, those properties, it's the whole area. We've seen stuff in other areas. It seems like almost that's the epicenter.
Yeah.
But stuff can happen miles and miles away from that on other pieces of property. I've met other property owners out there that have similar experiences, you know, cannibalizations and deaths on their property. And even as far as I remember one guy that we met in MUFON actually committed suicide out there. He lived in Duchesne and was having some problems. And I think he showed up at our meeting as a cry for help. And no one realized it at the time, but he ended up committing suicide because of the things he was experiencing out there. So a lot of people experience stuff out there and never talk about it. At least back in the day, they're probably talking about it more nowadays because the ridicule factor has kind of left the subject. But and the TV shows are all out there. So a lot of people are, you know, wanting to get on TV and tell their story and this and that. And I don't see anything wrong with that, you know. A lot of the people out there have their stories, and I'm glad that they're starting to tell them now, because back in the day, back in, you know, 2000, we'd meet a lot of people out there and they go, oh, well, that stuff happens all the time. We just don't talk about it.
Yeah. You know, it's like, why? Tell us.
Yeah. Exactly why. I mean, people should know about it, especially you should be telling your neighbor about it, or, you know, because if you're seeing high strangeness, maybe they are too. And if anything, you should be warning them.
Yeah. Yeah, packs stronger together, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, I saw Ryan post, I think it was like a little shack or some kind of like homestead picture. And there's this light, almost like pole growing out of it. Like you can see this little light formation, like almost like there's something physical there that's like kind of shooting out of it. Similar to like kind of what you see, these pillars type thing what's going on with Skinwalker Ranch, where they're, you know, launching rockets because there's something up in the, you know, 100 feet up in the sky or whatever. It's weird what's going on out there. There's like these wolf creatures. I remember Ryan was talking about on one of his episodes, I think, or he showed up on another show, but he was talking about, you know, these native people that were on his property. And he's like, I feel weird kicking them off because, you know, this is like their land originally. And he was saying that it was like a husband and wife or what seemed like that, but he would never see them together.
This one.
You know, he would see like the female with this big black dog, and then he would see the male with this big black dog, and he would never see them together. Right. And he's like, I kind of have this feeling that they're like shape shifting. So like when I see the female with the black dog's actually the husband. Right. And vice versa. And he's like, it just felt like they were doing this ancient magic, you know, this like very similar to kind of what the Celtic people used to do. It's like the whole Druid thing. It's like you wear the pelts. So it's funny how that's like a connection to like Navajo and Celtic and all these other ancient cultures. You wear the pelt and then you turn into the beast, you know? But yeah. And I remember he was saying like, that was the feeling he got, that it was actually like the husband as the dog and vice versa. I'm like, wow, that's creepy. You know, weird feeling.
You got to listen to that intuition. I mean,
yeah,
it's probably more real than you think it is. Before Ryan bought the property, we had a Skywatch with Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero and a TV crew and a whole bunch of our team, some of the original members. And we were at the southern location and we witnessed these blue lights that looked like they were just like little blue lights. And my dad was even with me on that trip. And he's like, it's got to be bugs. They're fireflies or something. I'm like, so he's videotaping it. And we're all like, this is front row seat. I mean, it's happening right in front of us. And then we notice, you know, because you're like, what is that? Is that really, is that bugs? Is that, you know, because you're trying to make sense of it. And then you see one like light up an area about 4 feet. And you're like, that's no bug. No bug can put out that amount of light, you know? Yeah. And then when we came back and researched it, we're like, well, fireflies kind of mimic each other. One will do like two flashes and a little dip. And the male will do two flashes and a little dip. They mimic and they, for this mating ritual, they do with the light on. We see none of that going on. It was almost like, this is the intent I got. And this is the intent that probably three other people there were getting. When I mentioned it, he said, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was like these lights were drones being controlled by something else. That's what we were getting. It was like a drone that was being controlled by another intelligence. And they were actually trying to get us to come toward the ranch. They would come. And then when you went toward them, they would go away like, follow me. That was the intent we were getting from them. Was that they were trying to get us to move forward for some reason, and that these things were watching us for something else.
Wow, so, that's weird. That's so weird.
We have video and pictures of all that whole event, and it's on the website actually. Recon, I think it was Ranch Recon 2002. Read that story; it's on the website.
So. Yeah, we'll check it out. We'll post some links to your website and to those stories, especially the ones we talked about when we post this, but. It's weird. When you talked about the blue lights, I feel like that's like a thing. That's like a native thing. They talk about don't follow the lights. Like if you follow the lights, it's like an ambush. You know what I mean? It's like when you follow them into the forest, it always becomes an issue. So, and then that follows Bigfoot around, which is another weird thing. Like you always find those connections, you know? So isn't that weird? We're talking about the veins and these are all happening now. And it's, yeah.
Why? Hey, if you're going to give your opinion really quick, and we can maybe end here unless there's more questions.
I just wanted to.
But if you were to give your opinion on what's going on out there, like in that area, the Skinwalker Ranch Zone, the Space Wolf Research Area, Vernal, well, I guess Roosevelt, what do you think is going on there? Like, what do you think if you were to just give your opinion, is it just like a portal zone or like what, in your own words, what do you think's going on there?
I think a whole lot's going on there in that whole area, all the way up to like, say, Blind Frog Ranch area. There's a lot of history there that has been suppressed. And I think that what's really going on there is some kind of ancient or alien technology that has been hidden, buried, whatever you want to call it. But I think there's something there that's either ancient or alien that's causing all that. The area itself lends to why it was put there.
Yeah.
If it is ancient or alien, there was a reason to put it somewhere and that's where they put it. And that's for a reason. I think the area itself has more energy or more history to it than we know. What we do know about the area is quite a bit. But I think this goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. You know, why it was put there, you know, why the area is special. I think it's much more older than what we think it is. And I think that some – now, Bigelow had the ranch remote viewed. I don't know if you've read those reports.
I haven't. No.
During his ownership, he had the ranch remote viewed. And what they had come up with was that there was something buried in the southwest corner of the ranch that had military ties, was not military.
Hmm.
And I think three different remote viewers came up with that same kind of reading. Hmm. Now, if there's a lot of truth to that reading, then if it has military ties, then they know about it. Right? Maybe it's some kind of underground thing. Maybe it is a Stargate, an ancient Stargate or something. And the military knows about it, but it's now in, let's say, private hands, like a corporation or you know, whatever. Lockheed owns it or whatever. And I think what might be happening out there, at least in the past, might not be happening now, but at least back in the past when, let's say, Bigelow owned it or when the Shermans were on the property, I think that whoever was in charge of that was trying to, like, say, fire it up to get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they did try, weird things would happen on the surface. And then they would shut it down because they weren't in control. Or there's probably a lot of truth to that theory. I just think there's something ancient or alien there.
That's funny because that, you know, I'm just barely restarting Stranger Things season one with my wife because she's like, let's rewatch Stranger Things. I'm like, all right, cool. And my son, he's 8, and we're like, it's probably a good time for, I mean, there's scary stuff in there, but I'm like, it's a good time for him to get into it. And it's, if we start now, we can end by like Halloween, right?
I mean, so he's a mini paranormal kid already. He's loving this stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, we're trying to get him into it. And, but I'm like, I sit, you know, that whole show is like, it's like the Montauk Project. It's like CERN. It's like, what's going on? It's like what I think is happening at Skinwalker Ranch, possibly. There's like these portals or something. And these beings and things come out of it. You know, when you start
I tend to agree with you because CERN is literally like the same thing as what you're saying, where I think they've opened up something in that. Is it Sweden or Norway? Finland, Sweden, Norway. I can't remember one of those Nordic places. Yeah. I feel like they've opened up a door that they can't close right now. And it's causing issues with the whole world. You know what I mean? And maybe it's causing us to be enlightened in some way. Maybe that's part of it. Who knows? But all I'm saying is like, it's weird because Skinwalker Ranch reminds me of that. You know, it's like our version of that right here. You know, and you guys are a part of that too, you and Ryan and stuff, which we'd love to be a part of. We'd love to at least go to the ranch at one point. It'd be awesome and check it out. But man, that's interesting stuff, how there's those connections, you know. Intriguing, super intriguing. Well,
after the interview, I want to talk to you a little bit about getting up there. We'll get you guys up there.
Oh, sweet.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Hey, and then, if there's anything else, I mean, I'm good to kind of close this out. We got to have you on again if you ever have time. I know you're a busy guy. But there's so much we could talk to you about. We could go on forever. And this is already over an hour, hour and a half, maybe.
We're holding you hostage.
But I guarantee we got no listeners. Problem. We got listeners. They're going to be so happy about this. And they're going to want to have you back, I'm sure, at some point. So we'd love to have you. We'd be honored. Is there anything else you want to promote at all that you're working on? Or is there anything that you want to close out with as far as the story or anything like that you just want to end on?
No, I'm not really promoting anything. I am still working on a book, but that's a long way out. If anybody wants to purchase my artwork or some of my photographs or something, they can hit me up on Facebook. Like I said, the Moonlight Gathering is coming up. If anybody wants to go to that, Ryan speaking.
What is that? Gathering. Yeah. Can you enlighten a little bit more on that?
Sure. It's called the Moonlight Gathering. It used to be called the Morgan Powwow back in the day. It was an elect kind of group of people. It was an invite only type of thing where when I first started going, it was like 40 people, really Bigfoot hunters, treasure hunters, you know, just kind of a whole gamut of really interesting people. And I got hooked. So I've been going every year and it's got bigger and bigger every year. Now there's 300-400 people that show up to this thing. It got so big that they have to have the event in a park now where you you can hold the amount of people. So it's going to be at the Altamont Park in Altamont. And the main event starts the 23rd and 24th of this month. We're going to have speakers. There's going to be vendor trucks. It's one of these things where you're going to hear a lot of stories about treasure and Bigfoot and petroglyphs. And let's see, Ryan's going to be speaking about Space Wolf there. I'll be probably speaking. It's just a really, really good bunch of people. And if you're into any of this stuff, especially Utah stuff, that and the Uinta Basin, they cover all of that up there. I mean, it's a 2-day event. This year, we are going to have an event at Space Wolf on Wednesday, the 21st, and then the Moon Lake Barbecue on the 22nd, and then the main event starts the 23rd and 24th. So if anybody's interested, you can just Google Moon Lake Gathering, or you can hit up my page. I've got some ads on that as well. Terry Carter kind of runs the show on that, and Mark and some other people. Terry Carter is a well-known treasure hunter. He has got his own YouTube channel and stuff, and he records the whole event and puts it on his YouTube and all that. But just a really good bunch of people. If you want to hear some good stories about treasure, about phenomena, Bigfoot, Spanish lore, Aztec stuff, you know, just about anything that you can think of in Utah, you should probably check this event out. It's a really good, and it's free.
Yeah, I might have to pop over there. One of them's a Saturday, so yeah, maybe I should be able to pop over there. So I don't know, what do you
have? Yeah, no, I don't have any more questions for you. I think that's awesome, and this has been a huge pleasure having you. Again, we could talk forever. There's so much stuff we could cover. I barely even scratched the surface on stuff I wanted to talk to you about. We'll have to get you on again. I know you're a busy guy, so we'll do it like way down the road whenever you have time. But we really appreciate it. Well, we'll get this out. When we get this out, we'll share the link with you. And then if there's anything, like your page and stuff, if you're okay with us sharing those links, like, you know, when you said you're selling your art and stuff, let me know those links, and I'll just share them too on the show notes. And hopefully people will buy your art and just participate in some of the stuff you're doing.
Nice. Sounds good, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been awesome. And we'll keep in touch for sure.
I love the Utah native vibes. We're Utah origins. Heck yeah. Get Utah out there. People actually, it's funny, people don't realize how much is going on here in Utah, but they're starting to see it now with the Skinwalker Ranch. But we got the cool outsider view of that. All of us random people that have, not random, you know what I mean? All of us people that are just, you know, in the shadows, you know, figuring it out. And I think it's really cool.
All us locals. Yeah.
All us locals. Yeah. We say mountain instead of mountain, you know, it is what it is. So.
All right, man. Well, thanks. You so much. Have a good night.
Hey, you too, man. Thanks for having me on. I wanna roll, I wanna get
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.